I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Well, that election Tuesday night has left a lot of us stunned. We continue looking back at what happened. Mike Gagan joins me again. He was on just a week ago, and I don't usually have guests on so soon after an appearance, but the unexpected election results make it necessary to talk to Mike. We'll look at how the polls were wrong, how the Liberals pulled this off, and what happened to Adrian Dix, what happens now to the NDP, and what will Christy Clark be up to as she seeks a seat in the House and governs with her own mandate. Mike Gagan is often seen on television as a pundit. He's a government relations consultant. Visit bclobbyist.com. At bclobbyist is also his Twitter handle. He had a great tweet Tuesday night where he said that it was the first time he'd seen the winners and losers looking shocked. Please welcome back to the Plant on the Line program, Michael Gagan. Mr. Gagan, good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for having me on.
Thanks for joining us. What the hell happened Tuesday night?
Well, like I tweeted out, it's the first election where the winners looked as shocked as the losers. And it's a situation where what happened was when Adrian Dix just went from, he was going to let the process take its course with regards to the twinning of the Kinder Morgan, to one where on Earth Day he unilaterally declared he was now opposed to the twinning of the pipeline. That allowed the Liberals to get real traction on the issue of the economy. Essentially what happened is this went from being an election about change to being an election about the economy. And a lot of people, particularly in the interior, in the north, a lot of blue-collar families, when they got to the voting booth, they went, you know what, we're not going to be held hostage by the banana movement. That's the build absolutely nothing anywhere near anyone crowd. And they quietly marked their ballots Liberal, and the result was a stunning upset.
What happened to the polls, though?
Well, I think there was several things going on. First of all, the polls did measure to some extent the narrowing of the gap. Like, if we recall, the polls were initially showing a 20, even 22-point margin between the NDP and the Liberals, and it did show that margin going down to between 8 and 5 points. What the polls missed was the fact that rather than stopping or even the NDP regaining some ground back, in fact, that momentum had continued right through. And I know, talking to Liberal insiders, that although some are suggesting that their polling, they knew what was going to happen. No, they didn't know what was going to happen. They were hopeful that they were going to squeak out a victory. No one expected a mandate that was stronger than the one they had in the last election.
And there's no, is there any question as to how the NDP got out their vote in terms of changing that process or whatever they did with regards to their base?
I think what happened was there was a lot of people who initially were going to vote NDP, had been identified as voting NDP, and like I say, when time came to mark their ballots, they thought about jobs, they thought about the economy, they thought about their children, their prospect for gainful employment, and they marked their ballot Liberal. I mean, this is a phenomenon we used to call decades ago the 32nd Socred. And that's what happened, is people got scared, because I believe that the Kinder Morgan announcement caused people to remember what happened in the 90s and go, wait a sec, you know, can we afford to say no to jobs and economic growth by saying no to resource extraction and resource transportation? No, we can't. That's what pays for health, education, and social services. That's what gives our kids a chance at a job where they're making more than minimum wage. So, you know what? I think that's the shift that occurred.
Did anyone in the NDP realize this or see that this could cost them the election?
No, at the time, I believe that when the decision was made, they thought they were so far ahead of the Liberals that now it was a concern about, okay, let's keep the Greens out of the legislature, because if the Greens elect even a single MLA, you know, our whole argument that a Green vote is a wasted vote flies out the window. Now, to some extent, that had already been broken with the federal election of Elizabeth May. I had predicted that Andrew Weaver would likely win in Oak Bay. I had predicted that Vicky Huntington, an independent, would likely be reelected, you know, first independent reelected in about 100 years in British Columbia. Yeah. I certainly didn't predict a liberal almost landslide majority, certainly a very solid majority. I would have predicted some kind of an NDP majority, either slim or modest, with the outliers being either an NDP landslide or a squeaker liberal victory. I don't think anyone predicted the magnitude of the liberal win.
Now, Christy Clark, even though she won her seat, she's won this election. She worked awfully hard in this campaign, and I guess the proof is there with the results of Tuesday night, right?
Well, it absolutely proves the old adage that campaigns matter. Mm-hmm. I want to say two things. First of all, from my inside sources within the Liberals, I had one of them tell me, 4 days before Election Day, you know what, we went from being 10 points behind in Kamloops and Kamloops North Thompson to being 10 points ahead. So when I heard that, I went, oh my God, that means either Kamloops North Thompson for the first time since Confederation is going to elect an opposition MLA, or the Liberals are going to score an upset win. And obviously the Liberals scored a big upset win. The other thing that I heard was that there were Liberals in Vancouver Point Grey because, like everyone else, they were convinced the NDP was going to win. They were strategically voting against Christie because they thought, well, if we're going down to defeat anyways, we want to make sure she's gone as leader. And you know what? That's one thing they did pull off. They managed to defeat Christie, who ran a hell of a campaign, totally out-campaigned Adrian Nix. So I am sure there are more than a few people, Liberal and otherwise, in Vancouver Point Grey who are kicking themselves because they had no idea that they were basically booting out of their riding a sitting premier.
Do you think the media and how they cover politics will change how they do that? In terms of using polls, I mean, the polls seem to dominate the election and frame the stories that we saw on television and in print to the detriment of a number of issues not being covered.
Yeah, I think what's going to happen now is there's going to be both for the media and for, I work as a lobbyist, but, in terms of the punditry that I do on the side, there's going to be much more skepticism of polls. And I think it's going to be, hopefully, much more of a return to issues, what seems to be, having traction with the voters, rather than like, oh, yeah, this group has it in the bag and these people are trailing and nothing's changing. I think that whole shorthand for elections is got to go out the window because polling, quite frankly, does not have the credibility. Not after, blowing so many election calls. And, first Alberta and now British Columbia.
And are you people in the chattering classes, people in the media, are you isolated from the rest of the people? I mean, it seemed that looking at Tuesday's result that you were.
Absolutely. I thought Christy Clark had a good line when she said to Gary Mason, you got to get out and talk to the people, and they're not just on the golf course. I thought that was a very cheeky line, but, it's absolutely true. I was in Victoria. I wasn't up in Kamloops. I wasn't up north. I wasn't in the Okanagan, even though I grew up in the Okanagan. But, things were moving on the ground, and, you saw people like Harry Lally, who's NDP MLA, he went down to defeat. He lost his riding, and the Liberals picked that riding up. I mean, that's the kind of thing where if you're on the ground, you get a sense of it. But if you're in Vancouver, or especially Victoria, it's much more difficult because, of course, in Victoria, it went exactly the opposite way. There was two ridings that had been Liberal. Ida Chong came in third. You had the Greens come in first, the NDP come in second, and Saanich North in the islands, which had previously been Liberal, he went over to the NDP. So there, the momentum held. But again, Victoria is a community that's full of people who are all about green space and the environment and aren't really worried as much about, jobs and the resource economy as, say, the interior and the north.
What happens to the NDP now? Are they doomed to be an opposition party forever?
They're between a rock and a hard place because if they try and focus on the economy, they're not going to be seen as credible as the Liberals. If they focus on the environment, well, no one can ever be as pure on the environment as the Greens. The other issue is that, you have people within the NDP who are primarily focused on the environment, and you have people within the NDP who are primarily focused on the union sector. And, what's clear is a lot of private sector, blue-collar union voters went out and voted Liberal to protect their jobs, and that's a fact that You know, Christy Clark herself acknowledged in the day after the election. So I think clearly, you know, the NDP has some soul searching to do in terms of where it positions itself, how it messages, etc. Because you know they've really gotten away from being, you know, the defenders of the working class family. I mean, you know, we can't all be champagne socialists who are, you know, willing to condemn people to unemployment or underemployment while we look at the nice, you know, green parks, right?
What happened, though? What are Christy Clark's priorities now that she's premier? In terms of the campaign, we didn't really get a sense of what her priorities were. What the issues that she was going to bring in and the sort. We sort of just had this narrative of hers of the economy, but no real specifics, did we?
Well, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what they do in terms of the budget because, you know, a budget that they never really expected that they'd have to, you know, that they would still be in government defending or upholding and whatnot. They've got an issue with that. To be honest, I don't know what their priorities are going to be, but clearly what Christy Clark has a mandate for is to greenlight the twinning of the Kinder Morgan pipeline. She's already greenlit David Black's proposal for an oil refinery up in Kitimat. I think she's got a legitimate mandate to take a look at the Northern Gateway pipeline. I think she needs to work on rebuilding her relationship with Alberta Premier Alison Redford. And Alison reached out to her, you know, kind of put out a tweet like, you know, the pollsters were, you know, wrong once again. Just, you know, welcome to the club. And of course, she had the pollsters had predicted she was going to go down defeat to the Wild Rose Party. So, I mean, I think what she needs to do is certainly improve relationships with Alberta, and also at the same time, she has a mandate, I think, to focus in on what her government can do to create more in the way of good-paying construction sector-related jobs in this province.
Looking at the results of this past Tuesday, do you have the sense that the province changed a great deal?
I think when push came to shove and you know, the banana crowd overplayed their hand, you know, the silent majority pushed back, and they said, enough's enough. We're not willing to sacrifice our economic future and jobs for our kids to be some economically pristine, you know, area. Like, yeah, our economy does depend on resource extraction. We do need to have mining. We do need to have logging. We do need to be part of the oil and natural gas sector. And, you know, the thing that I remind people of is, you know, we could all eat tofu, we can all ride bicycles, we can all recycle, and it's not going to make a bit of difference to what's happening to the planet. Not when you have 1.5 billion Chinese people and 1 billion people from India who are tired of riding their bikes, and guess what? They want to drive Cadillacs and Buicks and Mercedes-Benzes. And you know what? To the extent that we are environmental Puritans, all we're doing is delaying, for example, trying to switch from burning coal, which is an incredibly dirty fossil fuel, to switching over to, say, natural gas, which is a much cleaner burning fuel. So, I mean, you know, we have to understand that we're only a few million people in this province. The entire country is only a few tens of millions. This is 1.5 billion people in China and 1 billion in India. It doesn't matter how pure we are. We're not affecting things.
And, of course, we can't discount the endorsement of Gordon Wilson in all of this.
You know, a lot of people ridiculed Gordon Wilson when he came out and did that. But, you know, at the end of the day, it did one of two things. It either showed that he had some influence, or conversely, it was a barometer of how, you know, people who have historically been seen as middle-of-the-road voters were swinging away from Dixon towards Christy Clark.
Yeah. An unbelievable election, Mike. Thanks for this.
Thank you. And, I just wanted to add one more thing.
Sure.
In terms of the mechanics of Christy Clark, what we're obviously going to see is one of her, if it's in the final recount, she has still lost to Dave Eby, then what we're going to see is one of her MLAs, probably someone who's served for a while, you know, and therefore has an MLA pension and whatnot, will be encouraged to step down. She'll run in a by-election in a safe riding, and that's how she'll return to the House. And the historic example that I look to is Robert Bourassa, who led the Liberals back to victory in Quebec in 1985. Mm-hmm. He did not take his own seat, and then in the by-election in 1986, he returned to the House. So this is something that the parliamentary system is well set up to handle.
Yeah, and do you have a sense of where she'll run?
You know what? People have mentioned Linda Reed's riding. People have mentioned Ralph Saltan's riding. I think it's going to be a combination of, you know, what makes sense and who's willing to volunteer.
Yeah. BClobbyist.com is Mike's website. Mike Gagan on the line from Victoria in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.